You are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I am Patricia Traina. I contribute to Inside Football, Big Blue View, The Athletic, Forbes, and a bunch of other places, joined as always by my co-host Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, and we are continuing our training camp preview of the New York Giants. We are going position by position unit and talking about some of the storyline, personnel, what we think might play out. And today we are going to move on to the wide receiver group. And Ed, this is going to be an interesting discussion, I think, given, you know, the various storylines at this position.
Oh, most definitely, Patty. And I mean, you know, obviously, We could spend the whole show talking about Odell Beckham, but let's not, you know, let's not do that. Talk about Odell a little bit, but really, this is going to be a very, very interesting competition for roster spots. And so, when we talk about, you know, what would be the big two for the Giants, Beckham and Sterling Shepard, this will be an interesting year for Sterling Shepard, not only because it's his third year in the league, but because I think in this offense he's going to be used a little bit differently than he has in the past. So, as you said, lots to talk about today, and I'll let you set this. And where do you want to start?
Well, you know, since you brought up Sterling Shepard, why don't we start there, and then we'll circle back to Odell, who I think we have to address. How's that sound? Does it sound like a plan to you?
Let me offer a couple of thoughts on Shepard at this point. You know, we've talked about, the other day when we did the tight end show, we talked about the likelihood that it looks like the Giants will use two tight ends more often, which means two wide receivers on the field, which probably means Sterling Shepard, who I think is 5'10", maybe 5'11", is largely considered a slot receiver. With the two wide receivers on the field, likely that he'll be lined up outside a lot more this time around. And I think that will be very interesting. He has always said that he feels like he can play outside. I think he did get to play outside some last year. But it's going to be very interesting to see if he's able to get off the line of scrimmage and get open and make plays, you know, when he's split out wide, you know, against one of the opposition's top two corners. So that, for me, it's just going to be an interesting year to watch how Shepard develops.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. As you say, they're going to move him outside a little bit more. But if you look at his career stats, I believe all of his touchdowns have come from the slot. I think he has played, I want to say, 85%. I don't remember the exact percentage. I looked it up, but I don't have it off the top of my head. But it's in the 80s, 80-some-odd percent of his snaps from the slot. And the concern with him, you know, when he was initially drafted is does he have the size to play outside? And, you know, he said that, you know, when we spoke to him in the spring, he said that, yes, you know, I'm not just a slot receiver. I can be a complete receiver. But, you know, it's kind of interesting with Sterling Shepard. Last year he was part of the wipeout at receiver, and that he suffered an ankle injury, which cost him, I believe, a couple of games, but he was never the same. He was never right after that Week 5 wipeout of the receivers. So you look at his stats where he had a reduction of targets, he had a reduction of receiving yards. Actually, his receiving yards weren't that far off from his rookie season, but what didn't really increase, and I know he wanted it to increase, were his yards after the catch. And you just wonder now, if you're putting Sterling Shepard, who's 5'10", up against a taller cornerback, how that battle is going to work out. I mean, is he going to be able to hold up with that kind of increase in physical play? Whereas, you know, when you're in the slot, you can play against the shorter and you know, that usually the team's third cornerback. But, you know, here's the other thing to remember with Shepard, and that is we saw in the spring a lot of pass formations where they use two slot receivers. So I do think they're going to find a way to get him a fair share of snaps from the slot, which thus far he has shown to be, you know, at his best. But I have some, I don't want to say concerns, but I'm curious to see how he does as an outside receiver when he starts getting, you know, knocked around by the bigger and more physical cornerbacks that he's likely to go against.
Sure. You know, Patty, I think that, you know, as you said, Shepard had that injury last year. I think he played in 11 games. It just so happens that I think it was just in the past two or three days that I put together the 90-man roster profile on Shepard that's going to appear, you know, within the next few days at Big Blue View. And his number of catches did go down, you know, but some of the other numbers, catches per game, his actual yards per catch, his yardage per game, some of those things went up. And you wonder how much that has to do with him getting better, how much that has to do with the fact that, you know, that there weren't a whole lot of other guys for Eli Manning to throw the ball to. You know, but there were some signs, you know, of improvement from Shepard. I think this is a really, really interesting year for him. You know, he's not going to be with Odell Beckham, with Evan Engram, with Saquon Barkley to throw the ball to. I don't think Sterling Shepard's ever going to be the focal point of the Giants' offense, but he could well be, no matter where they put him, outside, slot, you know, in bunch formations. He could well be the guy who quite often, you know, has the mismatch, has the fourth corner on the other team guarding him, you know, which is a matchup he's going to win, or he should win, you know, quite a bit. So we'll see if he's able to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big year for him, you know, kind of a I don't want to say make or break, because that's probably being a little too, you know, dramatic. But, you know, I think they're expecting big things out of Sterling Shepard in terms of yards after the catch, in terms of production. And, look, if he's healthy, he certainly has the ability to get it done and be a nice complement, you know, to Odell Beckham. But he's got to stay healthy and, you know, it's got to get it done. You know, it looks good on paper, but you know what they say, what you can do with paper, right? So, and let's switch over to Odell. I think we have to spend a little time talking about Odell, who, you know, according to videos we have seen, he's looking good. You know, he's still not working against press coverage, which to me is the big thing. I want to see how he does when he meets true resistance. Now, maybe he has, and we just haven't seen those videos, but when you're working against air versus working against another guy who's pushing you around and trying to impede your progress, your forward progress, that to me is a big thing. Your thoughts on what you've seen from the videos of Odell's workouts?
Well, all you can really judge is how well he's moving. And to me, I see a guy who looks like he's moving really well. He looks like he's willing to plant that foot, to break off that foot. He's obviously been willing to go up in the air after some catches in some of the video that we've seen. At this point, I mean, I understand the Giants, you know, holding him back a little bit and going slowly with him because that's what they should do. But to me, he looks really healthy. Obviously, as you said, let's see what happens when he gets that press coverage, when he gets bumped. I want to see what happens in some of those situations where in the past he's been able to take some of those short plays, some of those plays where and turn them into big, explosive explosive touchdowns or long runs. You know, some of those plays where it looked like he would make the catch, and if he was a normal human being, that he should have been tackled, you know, after he made that catch and he just ran away from people. What I want to see is if he still has that explosion, that ability to just find that other gear and run away from somebody. You know, and those are the kinds of things we're just not going to be able to see until he has pads on and has, you know, a defender up against him, you know, in a real game.
Yeah, that's certainly, you know, going to be a tricky thing too, because, you know, you talk about seeing him in a real game. I don't know that the Giants are going to play him in the preseason. I would be very surprised if they do, because now we have to, you know, we have to address the elephant in the room here. We have to talk about the contract situation. And, you know, at Odell's football camp for youth last month, informally he was asked by SNY, you know, are you going to be at camp? And he said, you know, I'm not planning a holdout. I'm going to be there. You know, I'm paraphrasing there. But there is still apparently some concern, if you will, that a holdout is on the table. I don't think that is valid concern. I would be absolutely shocked if Odell holds out. He has absolutely nothing to gain by holding out. If anything, you're talking about fines, and you're talking about undoing all the goodwill that you have built up as part of this new relationship you have with the Giants. Now, I understand it's a business. I understand he has to do what's best for him. But if I'm Odell, even though, you know, his rehab looks like it's coming along swimmingly and he's going to be back, if not better than where he was before, if I'm Odell, I come in and I say, and I sit with the Giants and I have this understanding in place that, look, I will go through all the workouts as long as I'm cleared. I will do everything in a controlled environment. I will continue to show you that I am back and I can handle all the stuff that comes in a game. But I don't want to play in a game because I, you know, I don't need to risk anything. I think when you're in a practice scenario, like I've said many times before, the coaches can control that. They can tell guys, don't tackle, don't, you know, jump up. You know, if you see a receiver jumping up, don't go barreling into him to hit him. You know, they can control that stuff. I'm not saying injuries can't happen, but they're less likely to happen in a practice scenario than they are maybe in a game scenario. So I think what's going to happen with Odell's contract is he's going to have to go through the summer, you know, gradually work his way back. You know, he's not at, he wasn't at 100% in the spring where we left off. We saw him, we didn't see him do any work against, you know, live competition. Get him to that point, and then, you know, for all the people saying, well, God, the Giants are wasting time, you know, because they're not talking a contract. Contracts can come together pretty quickly if both sides have an idea on the general parameters, and there have been numbers that have been floated around. I know I wrote about that for Forbes last month. I came up with a parameter that I think makes sense that will accommodate, you know, Odell's desire to be the highest paid receiver. Those details can come together fairly quickly. So I just think that people need to be patient. I think they need to have faith that Odell's going to show up. I do think he's going to show up. And I think it's going to continue to be smooth sailing with him. And hopefully, you know, my biggest concern is that he doesn't have any kind of setbacks or start compensating for anything, you know, that we can't see with the naked eye. But now all of a sudden we have another situation where, like, Victor Cruz was compensating and then he developed an issue. So that would be my biggest concern with him going into camp.
Sure, Patty. You know, I look at it like this. I mean, I agree with you, you know, wholeheartedly that it doesn't make any sense for him to hold out. You know, there's really not much, if anything, to gain from it. But you just have to say, you know, a holdout is on the table until it's not on the table, until he's there and you know, camp has started and he's there and we know he's going to practice and we go forward from there. So, but I agree. I don't see how it makes any sense for him. The only other thing that I will add, because you summed it up really, really well, is I think the way that this contract situation with Odell is the way it seems likely to play out, is my gut feeling is that you're going to see an Odell contract either shortly before the regular season starts, you know, once the Giants have seen enough of him in that controlled practice environment, you know, to believe that he is still the player that's worth that kind of a contract, or shortly after the season starts, you know, early in the regular season, in a couple of games against live competition. So, I mean, that for me, that's the time frame that I'm looking at. I just have my fingers crossed that, you know, that he comes to camp, that, as you said, all the goodwill that he's built up and all of that, that it continues to trend in that direction. And that's my gut feeling as to how I see this whole thing play out.
I think that makes sense. You know, I know there was talk that I think there was a report that Odell will not set foot on a football field without a new contract. But the thing with that report, which I think came from the NFL Network, if I'm not mistaken, is the report didn't cite Odell per se. So, you know, are we talking about somebody who is friendly with him? You know, how close is he to Odell? Is it his agent? You know, who exactly planted this notion that Odell will not set foot on a practice field, or not a practice field, a football field, without a new contract? And I think there has to be give and take. And thus far, there has been that give and take between Odell and the Giants with communication, which is much, much more improved than it was last year, with Odell basically, you know, keeping his name out of the media for the, you know, for the wrong reasons. Ever since that, you know, that video came up, Odell's just been, you know, we haven't read about him. We've read about other NFL stars getting in trouble or threatening to hold out or promising to hold out, and Odell hasn't been amongst them. So that's a step forward in the right direction. You can attribute that to the communication that Pat Shurmur and, you know, to a point Dave Gettleman have had with this young man, in just saying, look, we're not here to screw you. We want to make this work. We want you for the long term, but we need you to meet us halfway in order to make this happen. And I think it will happen. Again, I'm going to go with at the end of training camp, maybe just before the season starts. I think they'll take care of him. But, you know, I could see a scenario where it might go 1 or 2 weeks into the season, but I think you get it taken care of, you know, before that. So, Ed, let's move to the contested question, which is whether or not the Giants are going to have a definite third receiver. Do they even need a third receiver? And I'll weigh in here first, if you don't mind. I think, you know, given the anticipated expanded role of the tight end, where we're not going to see as many three receiver sets from that 11 personnel, I'm wondering if the third receiver is going to be a by-committee type of proposition where you have a different guy every week being that quote-unquote third receiver.
Oh, that's a possibility, Patty. The thing that I'm looking at really is the competition, you know, for rosters, Beckham and Shepard. We saw a lot of Cody Latimer as a third wide receiver in the spring, and Latimer's a big guy who hasn't necessarily, you know, done what or didn't necessarily do in Denver, you know, what they had hoped he would do as a wide receiver, as a second round pick. I think last season with 19 catches, I think was the most he'd ever had in a season. Another guy that impressed in the spring, I think, was Hunter Sharp, who's a smaller guy, came to the Giants at the end of last season, but seemed to show up on the receiving end of quite a few, you know, intermediate to deep balls throughout the spring. Has the advantage of being, you know, a guy who can return kickoffs and punts. We don't know at this point. We saw very little of the Giants doing the special teams, you know, kick return kind of stuff in the spring. I would think Hunter Sharp has a shot at a roster spot. I would think Russell Shepard, you know, who they brought in from Carolina late in the spring, that Dave Gettleman had signed to a fairly big 3-year deal in Carolina. Didn't work out. He's another guy that I think probably has a good shot at a roster spot. You know, and we talk about bubble guys, and we talked about it a little bit with tight end. For me, the guy I think is in a little bit of trouble is probably Roger Lewis. If the Giants keep 5 guys, I think the 3 I mentioned are probably the favorites. If they keep 6, I'm not sure about. But Lewis is a guy who didn't seem to get the opportunities in the spring that some other guys got, and I wonder if he's a guy who might be on the outs come time to set the 53.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Roger Lewis has been a guy who, in the 2 years he's been on the roster, has run hot and cold. And if I, again, I'm going to go off memory here, so I apologize if I'm wrong here, but if I'm not mistaken, he has, his percentage rate on catches is under 50%. As a matter of fact, you know what, I'm going to pull up the actual number so I can better... make this argument here, Roger.
I know it was
here,
exactly 50% last year, and it's under 50 for his career. I don't know the exact number, though.
I'm getting the numbers right now as we speak. Okay, so last year he caught 50.7% of his pass targets, this ProFootballFocus.com. The year prior he only caught 36.8%. So that's a career percentage of 47.8% conversion. But what bothers me about Lewis is there's been the drops, which he's had 5 over his 2-year career. But the other thing that bothers me, according to Pro Football Focus, is that he has been the intended target on 6 interceptions over his career, including 5 last year, which to me would suggest that in all likelihood, he's either not in the spot where the quarterback is expecting him to be, or something's just not breaking properly. I mean, some of those interceptions could be on the quarterback. It could also be a case of where, you know, a defensive back jumped the route. But that's still a statistic that's concerning you, that you don't want to see. And, you know, Roger Lewis, to me, has great straight-line speed, but when he runs some of his routes that require him to cut, to me it just looks like some of the routes are just sloppy to me. Now, he's been working out just like everybody else has been in anticipation of the season, but I do agree with you that it's telling that he didn't receive very many, if any, first-team reps, at least not in the practices that the media was admitted to. So I do believe he is on the roster bubble as well.
You know, with Lewis, the thing that I remember when Reuben Randall was a Giant, and to me it's very telling, very concerning when you look at interceptions and there's one receiver who has more passes thrown to him, you know, that get intercepted, you know, than his teammates. And that used to be the case with Reuben Randall, and that was back in the day when the Giants had option routes and various things. And Eli Manning and Reuben Randall just quite often never seemed to be on the same page. And it may not necessarily be the same type of situation with Roger Lewis, but in the NFL, a lot of these passes from a quarterback have to be thrown before a wide receiver makes his break. They have to be thrown by a quarterback, you know, anticipating where he believes that receiver is supposed to end up on a pass route. And if a wide receiver, and we don't know for certain because we're not in the room, but if a wide receiver doesn't end up in the place where the quarterback expects him to be, you know, then bad things are going to happen. And to be honest with you, I'm going to fall on the side of believing, you know, that the veteran 14-year, 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback is going to be right about where the ball needs to be thrown, you know, most of the time. So, you know, it's a concern for me, you know, when there's a high rate of interception to a given wide receiver.
Yeah, it is to me as well. And then the other thing that I'm curious to see is, you know, you mentioned Hunter Sharp getting some reps. Russell Shepard got some late reps. I know he was added to the roster, I think, in late May. So he stepped up and got some reps. I just think that handwriting is on the wall here for Roger Lewis. I mean, he's got to have a strong camp, and he could impress. He could show improvement, but I just think, you know, 12 receivers and there's a lot of competition, and given the fact that you're going to run probably fewer 11 personnel where you need three guys on the on the field every time, I just think it's an uphill battle for him this year.
Agreed.
So, Ed, is there anything else you want to mention about receiver? Any guys in particular that you're keeping an eye on? Any guys that, you know, come to mind that you think are also on the bubble?
Well, I don't know about bubble, Patty, but one guy I think right near the end of the mini camp, the one guy that we saw get a couple of first team reps was the young undrafted free agent kid out of Syracuse, I believe it's Amba Edetawo. Just to throw his name out there as a guy to pay attention to in training camp, because the first team reps, although we only saw a couple of them, they just tell you that he's caught the eye of the coaching staff, that they're curious, that they want to see more. So for me, I would just toss him out, you know, as a guy to watch once we get to training camp in the preseason.
For sure, definitely. He's a guy that, you know, kind of came out of nowhere, was on the practice squad, as you said, last year, and looked kind of good, you know, running routes. But, again, the true test when it comes to these receivers is going to be when they go up against press coverage. You're going to be looking to see how they do with timing patterns, because we're going to see a lot more of that. And, you know, how elusive are they? Are they able to cause the first defender to miss by putting a juke move on them to, you know, get free? So a lot of stuff coming up, and going to be very interesting to keep an eye on all that. So on that note, Giant fans, we'll wrap up this show. We want to thank you, as always, for listening. We will continue our position-by-position breakdown. Up next, we're going to look at the offensive line. And still to come, we have defensive line, linebackers, defensive backs, and special teams. So make sure you keep it here on Locked On Giants as we bring you all the latest on the New York Giants as we lead up to training camp. Thanks so much, and we'll talk to you soon.